Somebody sent me a one-frame cartoon the other day. It was showing a leopard, and it had come up to Jesus, and Jesus is looking down at the leopard, and he says, "I heal lepers." It's a leopard, friends. "I heal lepers," he says to the leopard. And the leopard is sitting there with a tear coming out of his eye. Jesus healed 10 lepers. 9 went off to show themselves to the priests, but 1 turned back. The one who turned back is described as being a foreigner, as being a Samaritan, someone who wouldn't even have been welcome presenting himself to the priest despite having been cured of leprosy. Instead, this ex-leper presented himself to Jesus with praise and thanksgiving. The children, the outcast, the foreigners, the ostracized, the rejected, all of these and more make up the children of the kingdom of God. This goes for lepers, for Samaritans, for Mexicans and Canadians and Democrats and Republicans and heterosexuals and homosexuals too. We are all called to be children of God. Indeed, we are all called children of God. Sadly, sometimes the ringer of this life squeezes us to smithereens, making it difficult for us to praise God and exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. The past couple of weeks, we've seen a number of God's beautiful children, 6 as of this morning, 6 of God's beautiful children commit suicide as an anguished response to how elements in our society have bullied them, have treated them, have rejected them, have attacked them. When I first heard of Tyler Clemente, I cried. It was so senseless. It was so sad. It did not have to happen, and yet it did. Tyler had been emotionally tortured. He'd been made fun of by his classmates at college. He'd been ostracized and excluded. A violinist, he was recognized with talent, and that talent was at times belittled because of what was suspected about him. And when it was discovered and when he was exposed as a homosexual, as a young gay man, something in him snapped. Treated like a Samaritan, treated like a leper, and feeling no hope, no recourse, no divine comfort, his tragic response was to leap from a bridge, from the George Washington Bridge, into the dark of night and the Hudson River and end his life. The pain that drove him to this is not unlike the leprosy that the Samaritan suffered. And a cure is indeed needed here. Now, I want to be very clear. Tyler did not need to be cured of his homosexuality. That was how God made him, and God does not make mistakes. No. What was and is needed is a balm to make the wounded whole again. A healing for soul and the self from the devastating leprosy that our society has projected onto homosexuals simply because they're gay. In other words, what needs healing, a making whole again, In the modern context of homosexuals who have been bullied, vilified, ostracized, and demonized is the emotional, spiritual, and psychological damage done to them by our diseased society. I have known children, youth, in my congregations over the past 20 years who have been excluded in school, excluded in family, who, when they have come out to their parents, have been told, there's the door. Who have been stripped naked, beaten, and left in a shower in the gym locker room until midnight. Who've been locked in lockers. Who've been forced to run out without any clothing on and try to get home late at night. I have known children, youth, members of my congregations who have been excluded by family, by friends, and yes, I hate and I fear to say it, by the church, because of what they have said about their own identity, what they have admitted. Sometimes it's even worse for those about whom it is simply suspected. I'll never forget going to the home of a family member of a church over 10 years ago. I hope they're listening right now on the internet. I went to that family's house because the father had beaten the son to within a few inches of his life on this mere suspicion that the son was gay. We have a diseased society that projects onto these children, that makes them into Samaritans and into lepers, and tells them there's the door. There are indeed pastors today in pulpits who've been preaching and are preaching and will preach that it's these youth's own fault. Nonsense. Or as I once said many months ago, bull loney. Indeed. We are called as the church to speak the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the love and acceptance of Jesus for all Samaritans, for all lepers, for all of those who've been ostracized by the community, by the society. We've been called to proclaim to all, you are welcome here, you are accepted here, you are loved here. There is no one who cannot come into this church and be a member of it. There is no one that God does not call into the family of faith. We are called to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Christ, speaking the love of God to the world. We are called to be expressing the love and acceptance of Jesus, the love and acceptance of Jesus that looked at this Samaritan and said, because of your faith you are healed. Not because you changed, not because you stopped being a Samaritan. No, because of your faith, you are healed. We heard that today in the hymn that we sang before the gospel reading. Verse 3 of An Outcast Among Outcasts. For outcasts among outcasts, the boundaries are redrawn. By words, your faith has saved you. By cross and Easter dawn, the distant longed-for centers of power, peace, and care, where life is free to flourish, are found now everywhere. We are called to make the church, the family of God, a welcoming and safe place for all children, regardless of who they are, regardless of their nationality, their language, their ethnicity, their color, or their gender, or their sexual orientation. We are called to welcome all of God's children to the family of faith. I praise God that today I can step down from this pulpit and not be afraid that this message I preached will result in a telephone call to a district superintendent. You laugh. I've pastored churches where that would have happened. Indeed, I've pastored churches where it did happen. Got thrown out of one for that. But my brothers and sisters, we cannot muzzle the proclamation of the love of God. We cannot muzzle the proclamation of the acceptance of God. We cannot muzzle the proclamation of the welcome of God to all. We must be a beacon proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ died for all and that all are welcome into the family of faith. Let St. Stephen be that voice, clear, heard loudly in this community. Let St. Stephen be a church that proclaims contrary to those voices that we've heard the last few weeks downtown and that we hear from Topeka and elsewhere saying that God hates people. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no hatred. There is only love, acceptance, welcoming, peace, a call to commitment, a call to faith, a call to life transformation, a call to witness to the love of God. My sisters and brothers, that is the call that we have. We're the other nine lepers who went off to the priest because we could. Because we were accepted otherwise. Because we were welcome otherwise. And we have been healed, and now we can go to the priest and say, look what has been done for us. Look at what God has done for us in healing us and transforming us. We are the other nine lepers. Let us welcome the tenth. Let us welcome that tenth ex-leper into the family of faith. Let us welcome all of God's children home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.